Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Welcome every morning. We'd like to once again welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner here at the historic Clay County Courthouse. And I always said we were in a corner, but I guess technically we're in the corner of a room here. And it is a corner of the courthouse, but there's a little hallway on the other side of us, so I don't know about that. But I know it's a pleasure for us to be with you here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And we're grateful for the folks that make this possible. And that would be people like the Three Star Committee and the Three Star Group, the Chamber of Commerce, and all the folks that help sponsor this. We really appreciate that. And, of course, we appreciate all you folks that listen to us each Thursday morning. And we're glad to be back after a little two-week hiatus. I don't know, this is one time that we had two weeks of holiday that fell on a Thursday, so we took a little Christmas and New Year's break this year, but we've got a list of birthdays and anniversaries today, and some of them go back into December a little bit. We'll try to get all of them on here during the show, and got a couple of important guests this morning here with me, and that is the county mayor, Dale Reagan, if and when he gets here, and of course Dr. Doug Young over at the Chamber is here, and we were going to try to do a little discussion on a bunch of the good things that have gone on here in Clay County during this COVID period. But speaking of COVID, I think I looked on the website this morning. We had 5 new cases yesterday. I think we have kind of flattened out at 5 now, which, and I don't think we have seen a Christmas rise here in the county yet. Maybe, and hopefully folks are a little bit safer than they were in some places. But we've got lots of time. We could spend a lot of time talking about the news yesterday, but we'll leave that for other time. Like I said, we're looking at some of the good things that's happened here, some of our grants we've got, some of the accomplishments that we've made, some of the bright points here, and like things like our tourism, things we're going to be looking for coming up the next year or so. And it's just great being able to be here with you again, and we will get cranked up with the show here in a few minutes. We'll take a little short break, and we may come back. I may have a little philosophy line or two before we get started. I hadn't looked up anything on this day in history, but I've got a feeling after I went and looked, there'd be a lot of things that happened, but we'll skip that for another day. But we'll be back here just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you're worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car. Let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Trican Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's a pleasure sitting here this morning. I may have Dr. Young to call down to, or did you hear him out there on the phone?
I heard somebody out there.
Okay, well, he's out there. Either that or he's a great big rat that's learned English. But starting this morning, I ran across a little something here that I thought was pretty neat. There was a whole list of things, six little things here, and one of them involved back during the Dust Bowl and all that kind of thing. All of the leaders, the city leaders, the churches, and everybody decided they'd have a prayer vigil and pray for rain, and they'd called it for a Saturday morning down on the square for the prayer vigil, and everybody got in there and they looked around, and all they saw. One little boy brought an umbrella with him. That's faith there. And, you know, the rest of them, they all came to pray, but they didn't really expect to get anything out of it. And I had another one here that kind of fits a lot of us. It says, written on an old man's T-shirt was this statement, I am not 80 years old. I am sweet 16 with 60 years of experience. So I think that, and I posted one yesterday too, that yesterday was National Cranky Old Gray-Headed Man Day, and I demand my recognition. So that one fit me good, so I used that. But looked like Mayor Reagan's made it in, and like I said, we're going to look at some of the things, some of the positive things here in Clay County, and hope this kind of maybe going to develop in a little bit of a series where we look at different facets of things going on here in Clay County. Coming up in this month later on, the folks down at 4-H, they're going to come on as they get back from the 4-H pig show, and they're going to do that. But we've talked here about, you know, trying to have an emphasis maybe on the impact of tourism here in the county, impact that the bypass might make, things like that. Get a bit more in depth on some of the things going on. But with that, good morning, Dale.
Good morning. Good morning.
I don't know which one of you gentlemen would like to start talking just a little bit. I guess he outranks us.
I don't know about that anymore. You don't. I don't look at it like that. But again, good morning to everyone. It's a cool morning out there, and it talk like we maybe are getting a little wintry next year in the next 24 hours.
Looks like our handy-dandy highway department has scattered a little brown on the roads already.
They're definitely getting ahead of the game, and that's a good thing. I might just touch on, we had a county court meeting Monday night and kind of go over that just a little bit, and maybe that'll get us into something else as far as the things that we want to bring out to the citizens and everything. We had one notary, which was Ms. Donna Watson. She's our county clerk, and so she came before the commission, and they approved her notary to be a notary. And
that was involved in that. I know, but we still, you know, if we need some type of paper with an official stamp on it, we'll run down there and say, you know, would you notarize this? But it's not. There's some stuff behind that, isn't there?
There is, and I mean, it has to be. They have to be approved by the county legislative body. One thing, and then also they got to be registered by the state too. Once that happens and everything, they get registered and they become an official delegate, I guess what you might say, of somebody that can notarize some documents, some legal documents and stuff. And so they have authority that they can do that, you know, witness the exchanging of whether it may be land or whatever, and even into in depth, it gets a little bit deeper in different situations and everything. And a lot of county offices, Donna, my Donna, I call her my Donna in my office, she's a notary, and that way she can notarize a lot of documents and stuff that we even have to have. And because there's a lot of things that that comes before us that has to be attested, man. Most of the time your notaries are the ones that can do that and everything, and your county clerk certainly has to be one, because she attests all the county commission meetings and things that takes place in the county government.
Okay, now, do you don't have to be a government official or anything like that to become just an ordinary citizen. You know, I know there have to be requirements, like a bond issued, and I guess a legitimate reason to be assigned a notary.
You have to go to the county clerk's office, and she's the one that you have to fill out the application, and she's the one that, in our case, I'm saying she, it's the county clerk, and of course ours is Ms. Donna, and she will pass that application on to the county legislative body when she recommends this application and everything. So she does the background looks of it and all that and everything. So when it comes to before the county commission, it has to have an official application that was come out of her office to them in order to do that. So if you're in business, it helps. It makes it, you know, a very good tool for you to have.
Right, you've got it on site.
Exactly. And we have a lot of folks that are notary republic. That's what they used to call them, notary republic. And but they're notaries, and that around the county and everything, they circle around. And I know down there in the office at the government complex, just about every office, with exception of maybe two or three, someone on the member of the staff or something in that office is a legal notary.
You know, and of course it does make it a lot easier, but you know, there's something there, I guess, that maybe a lot of folks don't understand, but a lot of legal papers that are legally binding don't necessarily have to be notarized if they're witnessed and things like that. But you know, it does make it easier if you come in and you see that stamp on there that you know, the parties involved and whatever it is have met them and met their requirements.
But it does that, and that notary has taken an oath that they will absolutely do what they're supposed to do to make sure that they are attesting that this party was present whenever it was signed between this party or whatever, and they have to take that oath that they would do that and uphold that and everything. So there's quite a bit to it. Plus, you have to have your stamp. You have to order your official stamp and all that kind of stuff and everything. So,
sorry about that.
No, that's perfectly fine. And of course, they approved the county commission minutes. We didn't have a planning minutes because we canceled the planning meeting because of the we had an outbreak of the COVID down there in the complex. We had several of the office holders down there, some of their staff I think we had about three that come down positive with the COVID, but a lot of it was a result of their family members having it, and they had to go into quarantine. So we went ahead and canceled that meeting and closed the building a couple of days before the Christmas holiday to give us the opportunity to go in there and sanitize and clean the building and everything and get it ready. And we opened it back up on the 28th, but we didn't open it back up the lobby because we wanted to keep that, hopefully, you know, keep it kind of down a little bit to get everybody back up as well as possible and everything. We did serve the public. We served them from, like, when we were at the stay-at-home, the shelter-in-place order that came by the governor back in March and April, and then we served from the windows and from emails and from the phone. But we're back open now. The lobby's back open, and we're doing business transactions only. There's no social gatherings as far as renting the buildings out or anything like that. But we are now open back to serve the public and everything for business transactions only and everything. So, but we didn't have a plan, and so they didn't have no minutes to approve on that. And the first resolution was amendment to the highway department on some COVID money that he got in, and there's some state aid funds and stuff that had to be moved around in the right categories. And so the commissioners approved that resolution. And resolution number two is a resolution to appropriate funds for the fire departments and the rescue squads. And I want to thank the county commissioners again for doing this. Our emergency services have really went through some rough times this past year. All of our fire departments, our rescue squads, are all volunteer, and they all rely on donations. The county does do a contribution of $2,500 a year to each one of them, but me being in that line for several years, I know that how much it costs is to keep everything up and going, and so they weren't able to have any fundraisers. So that was a big revenue loss on their part, but they were still having to keep the heat going at the buildings and keeping fuels in the vehicles and keeping them maintained and everything so that they were able to serve the public if that need ever come about. So we had brought a resolution before the county commission to appropriate each fire department $4,000 apiece, a one-time contribution, and to give to them to help. And we've got eight departments and a rescue squad, so that was about $36,000 that they approved, and that come out of the governor support money that we got back last year. That the governor, and I still applaud the governor on that part, because he gave all the county governments he appropriated that money to them, and then he took all then the legislators come back and took all the strings off of it, and they let the government, the local governments, use it as they see that it was needed to. And that's what we did, the county commission. And again, I applaud them for that, because I know that the departments will be receiving some money there that will help them whatever they need it to be and everything, whether it's to help pay on the light bills and utilities and stuff, or if they need to spend it on the trucks or equipment or something, you know, that a small amount, but we hope that it'll help them in a great way.
Well, you know, Dale, I'm saying, you're thinking, you know, that's about the value of one open shed. If you're a farmer, in our term, got an open shed there on your farm, if it burned down.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, that's. But yeah, I know the fire departments really appreciate that, because, as you said, the trucks have still got to have fuel, and the places have got to be kept warm.
They do, and a lot of them, you know, like the one that I'm a member of and been a member of 30-something plus years and everything, we have the one fundraiser a year. We do a donation drive every year, and we thank the people of the community for supporting it, because if without that, we'd be hard pressed. But our bean supper that we normally have out there at Moss in November, we always raise in the neighborhood between, you know, sometimes it's $2,500, and we have raised up as much as, you know, around $4,000, $4,200, something like that. And that really helps out. We didn't get to have that this year. And all the other departments that has their annual fish fries and cakewalks and things like that, they weren't able to have that either. And so, I mean, this, like I said, you know, small amount that we hope that will help them in a great way and everything. So again, that went out to the departments here shortly, and again, I applaud the county commission for doing that for us and everything. The other resolution was an amendment to pay the first payment as far as our on our jail project, on our architect and engineer part of it. We are it was $19,000 that we paid to the our architectural firm for drawing up the plans and stuff and getting that all in the process of heading toward the state, getting the state to approve it and all that, and then turning around and coming back and hopefully getting ready to start getting everything together to where we can start looking at the bid process and everything. So that money too is a part of that we chose to in the budget, that we put it in the in the revenue. We put $300,000 out of the government support grant that we got from the governor, because we didn't put it in the expenditure lines, because we wanted to make sure the commissioners knows exactly what we're doing with all this money, and they have to approve it and everything. And we put $300,000 in there to cover some of these costs before we go to the bank and do the interim financing for the construction costs. We wanted to do that because if we went ahead and done that right now, we'd have to be paying interest on that money that we're not really needing to do until we start construction of the building. And we have to do that. We have got the loan been approved through USDA to $7.5 million, and but we have to do a interim loan, just like if you was building a home, you got to go out and get you a construction loan first to build your house,
right.
And then once that's over, you close out, and then they set up your loan. And that's basically the same way this is working and everything. It's just in a bigger fashion and everything. And that was approved, and we did get the notification back, the sheriff and myself did, from the Department of Corrections, that we have to, every year for the past, five or six years, I guess, the sheriff and myself have been having to go to Nashville and go before the TCI board and to see if we can get them to certify or recertify our jail.
One more time.
And because of COVID, we didn't have to go down this time, but they did take all the things in consideration, and we did get our letter of certification. So they certified our jail for one more year under the pretense of a plan of action. And that's how that we've been able to continue that. They want to see the progress that we're making toward, the possibility of the new jail and everything. And the sheriff, he compiles all that information and sends it down to them and everything. So they did approve of that. We got our approved letter for that and everything. So we're thankful for that. And that don't mean that everything down at the jail is 100% correct. We know that, but they are certifying us to continue to operate under a plan of action. Now, if we stop putting forth an effort, and there's a real good possibility that certification will come away from us. We don't want that to happen, because in the event anything happens, God forbid that we, anything happens as far as any kind of suits or anything like that, right now under certification, we got the state TCI folks that are standing there with us on it, because they have been doing the best they can do under the circumstances of what they got to do with and everything. And so they're there with us. We lose that certification and we're on our own.
Right.
And we don't want that to happen. We want to continue pressing forward to try to continue this project on the jail and everything. So that was some things that went on at the county commission meeting the other night, and just wanted to bring everybody up to date. I know that we continue to right now to meet. We've got everybody spread out down there, and we'll continue to do that as long as we possibly can and make it safe for everybody.
Okay, and with that, I'm going to move over to Dr. Young. Then you two guys will probably need to converse with each other on some of these things here.
Sure.
Some of the things going on through the chamber, and which of course involves some of the grants and things we've got going on here, things like our truck bypass, some of the grants and things we have got to do, some improvements, purchasing ambulances that have taken part in this past year. Dr. Young?
Well, I'll start out with before the beginning of last year. Melissa White is chairman of the Historical Preservation Committee in Clay County, And recognizing that this was going to be our 150th birthday, that group planned a sesquicentennial program of events that were just phenomenal. And then COVID hit, and we've not got to do all of those. We've got one still lacking, and that's a time capsule. We're doing two time capsules, and we're going to put those so they can be opened 50 years from now, and then the other one will be 100 years from now. And so we're putting a lot of artifacts in those boxes, and we still have some room left. If you have something neat that's happened in Clay County, or some artifact that you would like to go in the box, as long as we have room, we'll try to get that in the time capsule. I'm trying to determine if there's anybody out there that knows anything about this for sure. We think in 1970, there was a time capsule buried somewhere around the flagpole at the old high school, but we can't seem to find out for sure. And I was principal of high school at that time, and it's on my mind, but I don't remember for sure that we had one out there. But maybe if somebody's listening, they can ring our bell on that one. During the last 6 months, we've had three ribbon cuttings in Clay County. Always great to get new businesses. Echo Panels, a subsidiary of Honest Abe, has opened up in Hermitage Springs. And so far as I know, they're going great guns. I saw their product. They've got a great, great business model. I think that could be as big as Honest Abe itself. So we wish them well. Then the Magnolia Market has opened up just across from the bank, and I've been in there, and she's got everything, including coffee. And I've had a little illness lately, and now I don't crave coffee anymore. And I bought some of that good coffee she had. And then Union Hill Distillery. Those folks have opened up along with Arno Hatcher. And they're going great guns out there. I've been out there for the ribbon cutting and then two other times. And every time I've been there, there's been customers. So I think that they're doing well. And, Dale, I'll turn to you. You know, you and I are involved in lots and lots of meetings. And prior to this virus, we were accustomed to leaving here about 8 o'clock in the morning for a 9 o'clock meeting in Cookeville and have the meeting and then maybe having lunch with somebody and then coming back home. Not anymore.
No.
Now we have Zoom meetings and webinars and all of that.
You can't share food on them things.
No, you can't. And they seem to, these people that we normally meet with seems to think that we have plenty of time now, and we're having a lot more meetings than we normally would have had.
Well, these seem to be working out pretty well, too, and I want to thank Dr. Young and the staff out there at the chamber for helping get this set up, the way that we can do that. And now we got the capability out there pretty much, you know, if we decided we want to do a Zoom meeting just between here in the county with a group or whatever, that Dr. Young and them knows how to go about getting that.
Well, as a matter of fact, we had our last ID board meeting online. And we'll probably do that again.
Yeah.
For any member that doesn't want to come in, if they can get to a computer, they can join us.
Yeah.
Or a phone. I think they can join us from a phone as well.
I'm glad the rest of this area here is finally caught up with Exceed. We were doing this, golly, back in the late 90s, and it scared everybody to death then. But now, you know, when something like this becomes a necessity, you know, there's a whole different way of looking at it. It's no longer a toy to be played with.
But, Thomas, it is interesting. You and I have talked about that. At that time, I was superintendent of the York Institute, and our Spanish teacher could teach Spanish to kids at Hermitage Springs,
yes,
75 miles away, in full motion video. Actually better than the Zoom is today. But somehow we never did really get that off the ground. We didn't have enough. We had enough money for the equipment, but then didn't have enough money to staff it.
Hey, we never had enough money to hire a specialist or trainers and things like that. But now one very, very successful thing came out of that that's still going on, and that was the sharing of the professors, the teachers from Volunteer State to on-site here, that they could actually teach the classes here. And we had a history teacher who came over and taught Salina High School and Hermitage Springs High School staff, and an English teacher. And, of course, now that's expanded into, with all the changes and everything, we have numerous high school seniors that graduate and leave our high school here with 32 and 34 credit hours of college before they even step foot into the brick and mortar over in Coldwater, Murfreesboro, wherever they decide to go.
And that sure does save a lot of money.
Yes, it does.
It looks like that the governor has expended that executive order for electronic meetings on through February, so after that, we'll see where it goes from there. But I can see a lot of them continuing to do this.
Okay. I think we're going to be able to work a little commercial in right now. But before we do that, I'm going to go through our list of birthdays for today. We do have one anniversary, I believe, in here also. But these are just kind of haphazardly written down here. Some of them may go back into December, where a few people did call in while we were gone. And we'll get them on there. Lisa Davis is celebrated a birthday on the 6th. Doug McLaren celebrated a birthday. Wayne Nelson celebrated a birthday. We'll not try to go and figure out how old he is. But Miss Peggy Rush Kirby celebrated a birthday on the 5th. And Teresa Strong on the 7th. Anna Lee Cherry on the 2nd of January. And also this week, Don and Anita Cherry celebrate their anniversary. Then Mr. Ronnie Wilmoth celebrated a birthday on the 6th. And looking on down through here, looked like Elsie Garrett celebrated a birthday while we were off. We'd like to wish Elsie a happy birthday. And also back in December, Hunter Collins. And then I think the last one we have is for Kendall Willis and great-grandma and great-grandpa. Sherman and Liz Brown called in to wish her a happy 10th birthday. So with that, I think that's our group for today. And we've got one more just added. Would this be Wanda Young?
It would be.
On January the 6th. Now, it would probably be highly illegal if we put her in the drawing for the cake.
It would be.
You'd think maybe her husband would think enough of her to go get her a birthday cake on
there.
You
think?
Took care of that.
Okay.
He's probably doing that about like he did this right here just now. He just thought, oh, no, I got something else.
We'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it. We are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you are worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Back everyone. Once again, we're back this morning with Mayor Dale Reagan and Dr. Doug Young over to Chamber, and we've been talking about some of the good things going on here. And you know, let's talk about just a little bit, Miko, the economy here in Clay County through all of this. Have we got figures on the?
We do.
Our sales tax
we
figures.
We do, and I'll let the mayor talk about that.
Well, our sales tax has been hanging in there and doing pretty decent. And through all this, we've been very fortunate. And some months it's a little bit better than others, but we've hung in there and not went into the deficit or anything. So I think that is result of everyone, you know, continuing to shop here at home, and then also our online orders and stuff that people are doing on the internet. And the internet sales, when they passed that through legislation, legislators passed that about a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, and we started collecting that through about a year ago in October.
Wherever merchandise is delivered to, they get the sales tax.
That's it. It's not necessarily, it's the physical address.
Right.
You might order something and they may drop it off here to you, but it's whatever that physical address is who determines which way it goes. If it's here in the city, if it's the physical address, it's the city address here, the city is the one that collects the tax off of it.
Okay, what about got anything yet on our hotel, motel taxes? Do they do a quarterly payment or anything, or is that an annual type thing?
They do their sales tax and stuff, that they come to the clerk's office, and I think that is quarterly. I believe how they do that. I'm not really sure about that.
Has it been pretty good, or right off the top of your head?
It's held pretty steady, yeah. I haven't had the clerk say anything different about it, but everybody is doing now. Everybody seems to be doing real well. I know that a lot of construction and renovation and stuff is taking place up there at around the Cedar Hill, Delhalla area. Denny up there, I had to commend him for a lot of things. You know, he's doing a lot of improvements and stuff. And we had a lot of folks that are through all this pandemic and everything. A lot of folks are coming out to our campsites and we don't necessarily collect anything off of their campsites when it comes to the occupancy tax, because that's controlled by the Corps of Engineers and everything. But still, when you get those folks in here and coming and camping and everything, they'll come down to their grocery stores and stuff like that.
Right.
And it helps out a lot.
And I think, you know, a lot of the folks that are doing the remodeling and the building up there, and I think some of the folks that are trying to get ready to start building up the point are looking for local carpenters to do the work, and they're purchasing a lot of their building supplies here in town now. So that's great. And also with the, I guess I need to get Billy on to come to talk about that, but there has to be a great increase in the property value on the hillside up at Cedar Hill now.
Yeah.
From the time they were rental cabins that were probably assessed at anywhere from maybe $20,000 a piece or something or other, and you look out there now and you've got $150,000-$200,000 homes sitting up there now.
Yeah,
so that's going to be an increase for us.
It is, and that's a happen. I think this year, don't hold me to this, but I think that we're fixing to go through a reappraisal year. We do that every 5 years, and so that'll be something. I know that it'd be good to have. Billy Smith, he's our property assessor and everything, and he could give you more insight on all that and everything, because he does a good job, you know, of keeping all that up to that and everything.
Kind of on the humorous side of that, I've always talked to him about that is a state mandated. The state sends in the assessor folks and everything, so we can't blame him for it.
No, I mean, because he, and even when you do a reassessment year, all through each year, they have periods that they come out, and they, whether they come out in person or online or whatever, however they deem necessary to do that and everything. And he has guidelines and stuff to go by, just like everything else. And
Dale, I'm wondering if you can remember. I'm sure Doug can. Back, golly, I guess about 1960 sometime or other, when we had the airplane flew out and the helicopter flew all over Clay County and took pictures of all the property here in the county, came in and drew up all these maps that are here today, and came up with a new assessment. And that, you know, that was a big deal. I think that took more than 1 year, and we had all kinds of people hired that we went around and basically tromped around and then all over. But they had, now we have all those pictures and everything. But that, I can remember that, and I'm sure Doug can. I don't know whether you can or not. But.
I can't. I don't know. I'm not hardly as old as you guys. I'm not that far behind, but I'm not hardly up there.
But you said the wrong thing there. You're not as experienced.
Well, absolutely, yes. I mean, they.
Let's get back to you. We're going to run out of time here.
One thing I want to mention, Thomas, before we go any farther, and we'll get into some other thing. We don't thank you often enough. This radio show doesn't put itself on. It takes a lot of work for you to get the various guests in here, and we appreciate the work that you do in here. And during this past year, you've had some great guests. During the years you've been doing this, you've had some great guests. How many years have you been doing this now?
I don't know. It's been 3 or 4 years.
And
of course, to start out, I had help.
Yeah.
And I've managed to run everybody off.
And we'd like to thank the radio station too, and John Keaton. John Keaton's had an extended illness, and we wish him the very best, and let him know how much we appreciate him allowing us to do this on the radio show.
You know, and a lot of people don't understand that this is our radio station. This frequency is licensed to, I guess, the city of Salina or Clay, the city of Salina, and. You know, there is potential here, and hopefully, you know, one of these days, you know, we've talked about this a number of times, some of the things we've expanded into, and when the COVID thing is over, I know, you know, we're looking down at Granville, and they have a live radio show every week, and there's really not any reason why we can't, you know, have one here at the courthouse or inside the courthouse or something. Of course, we do have our drawback where our elderly folks can't climb up the stairs, but, you know, something like that, that will get us a little bit of attention. And I know I talked to a lady at the basketball game the other night who used to be the secretary down at the vocational school. And Minnie, well, I can't remember what Minnie's last name was now, but I asked her what she was doing, and she said that one of the things she was doing since she, I guess, got retired when the Hartsville Vocational took it over, but she said she was substituting a couple of days a week and said that she was working in the souvenir shop down at Granville. And I asked her, you know, I said, you know, how's it been? And she said, it's been great. She said, our thing with our I Love Lucy thing said that has been a great hit down there, and it's brought a lot of people in. You know, and we have the unique things here. If we can ever hit that right niche and be able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, they've got a good setup down there.
And Thomas,
they got lots of money.
Yeah.
And Thomas, we've got to have the volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, most everybody that works down there volunteers more than they get paid for.
Oh, I talked to Randall one day, and he has something like 150 volunteers, and they volunteer from as far away as Atlanta. And come in there and really work. It's a hobby with them, and they enjoy doing it. And so we need volunteers to put together something like that for us. All right, let's go on with some of these things. Out at the chamber, we've got a new administrative assistant, Ashley Anderson. She joined us back about the 1st of December, I guess, And my wife is volunteering out there, and anybody that needs some help that we can provide the Chamber of Commerce, come on out and let us know, and we'll do what we can for you. As far as grants are concerned, we mentioned that earlier. We're winding down our latest downtown grant. James and Joe Helen Eads are finishing up the old time antiques place over here. They're going to be painting that. Parker Donaldson has really spiffed his business up. It really looks
neat going down through there now.
They're working, I think, right now on Baxter Fund, and Nikki Blakely is looking at redoing some stuff on her business here on the square, and David Ogletree around the corner has completed his project. And so we've had a lot in this past year going on. That's something on out in the future that I'd like to come on and talk about. All the businesses in the downtown area who've been able over the years to participate in this downtown grant. Now, we'll be going after another one. We'd like awfully well to be able to reach up East Lake Avenue. What we say and try to convince the folks in Nashville, Salina's such a small town, all of it's downtown. And we don't know whether they'll let us do that, but we're going to go after it. We got one of the CARES grants. This was during the COVID time. And in that grant, we got three exhibition tents. And if you're a member of the Chamber of Commerce next year and you're having some kind of an event and you need an exhibition tent, we'll loan them to you free of charge if you're a member of the Chamber. And out of this grant, we're also able to pick up some TV advertising on WCTE. WCTE reaches all the way to Nashville, and I understand has lots of people that prefer WCTE over their local educational TV channel.
And I'll throw in here, if you happen to be looking at CBS Morning on Sunday morning about 3 or 4 weeks ago and happened to catch it, Ms. Becky McGuire, who is the CEO over there, was on national TV talking about WCTE. So we're going out.
They also made us a couple of really professional ads that now belong to the Chamber, and we'll be able to use those ads in various places. And as a matter of fact, we have already done that. And that's been good for us. Then if you notice out at the chamber, we've got one, electronic message board. And, with this grant, we've been able to pick up the other side.
So we can get them going and coming.
Get them going and coming now. And, the state's definition of a tourist is people who are from 50 miles away or farther. So when we do some of this advertising, they won't let us advertise right in our back door, but they will let us reach out. And in some of the regional publications, we were able to use that grant money to reach out with some pretty nice advertisements.
You know, have we ever done a survey here, like go up to Willow, the park up here, and check with people to see how many miles they've actually driven in this weekend to come to Salina?
That'd be interesting. That'd be, and those people checking them in could probably work with us on that. The other project that we had on that particular grant was MASC. We got the 150 sesquicentennial mask with the logo on them, and so that winds that grant up. But let me mention that in the advertising, we don't have a lot of pictures. We thought we had a deal worked out with some other agencies to come in and take some pictures for us this summer, but the COVID came along and messed some of that up, so we didn't get to do that. If any of the listeners out there have some pictures of events in Salina, the lake, any of that kind of thing, lake, river, hunting, fishing, four-wheeling, horseback riding, all those kinds of things, skiing, if you'd bring a picture by that you would allow us to use in our advertising, we can scan it in minutes and hand it right back to you. And then instead of using stock photographs in some of these advertisements that we do, we could have our local photographs. We have invited all the business people in Clay County to send us some pictures in, and hopefully they will. We also have received a tourism grant, and we're going to be partnering with the Dale Hollow Marina and Center Hill Marina. We offered this to all the marinas. And this particular grant is going to assist us in doing a cable TV program that'll be on, I think it'll be on Dish and Direct and cable. It's a 13-week fishing program. Then they do reruns, I think. And then they move it to YouTube. And once it moves to YouTube, it stays there forever. And we'll have an ad on there, and that ad will be embedded. All the way through, that ad will always be there. Even on YouTube 5 years from now, that ad about Clay County will be on there. And they'll do one of their, they have 13 programs, they'll shoot one of those on Dale Hollow Lake. And so we'll get that kind of national publicity. They claim they have about 90,000 viewers for each one of their programs. So we can look forward to that one. We also have a Twin Lakes telephone grant that comes through Twin Lakes. It's the Foundation for Rural Services. We noticed during the COVID, and it's still happening, that say out at the rehabilitation center, the residents out there can't have visitors. Down to the senior services center, we can't go down there for meals and games like we used to do. And what we see happening is that too often our older folks, like myself, get disconnected from their families. And the equipment is here. We've got the equipment now in this grant to teach people how to use Facebook and a lot of these other programs, even Zoom, and be able to keep up with their family. If we've got a grandmother that lives here in Salina and her family has moved to California, she's not a member of the family much anymore. They may call once a week or something like that and talk, but with the technology we have available today, she could be making contact every day with her grandchildren and growing up with them. And we can probably teach somebody how to use that equipment in short time. The UT Extension Office has agreed to do some training for us, and they'll use the 4-H Club kids, and it's going to be interesting to see the 4-H Club kids working with the older folks. And then we'll have some other volunteers. Some of the senior citizens already know how. So hopefully we'll come out of that project with something to really be good for the senior citizens in Clay County.
And I know one of the greatest points in this one this time is, I know a couple of years ago I tried to do some things down there, but we didn't have any equipment to do things on. We had all kinds of old hand-me-down machines that were slow, and now we have some standardized equipment where a teacher can stand up there and tell 10 people at one time how to do it instead of having to try to go around to each one separately. I'm going to give Dale just a little shot here, and that is something on the bypass. Dale, is there any update on that at all right now?
Other than just they're still in the, environmental stage right now. They're going through that part of it, and probably this spring, I think, if you know that they'll be meeting again about on the design. They've done got the design pretty much laid out and everything, so they're just going through the environmental. Like I said, you know, they got to go through all that civil engineering and all that still taking place. And then the next step will be they'll be meeting, have a like public meeting type with before they get to the point of the right-of-way acquisition and everything. So the preliminary engineering and everything has been funded. The next phase will go into, they'll ask for funding for the next phase of it and everything. So it's ongoing, and I mean, it's looking like, you know, if anything else, it'll probably be drawn out to probably 2025, something like that, I guess. I'm just, I don't know. I mean, you know, but,
right.
But they are, you know, it's still in the works and everything.
And I know that is something that it's going to, I guess, change really the entire face of our town, of the city of Salina here. And, you know, if it goes along with, like it has a lot of other places, I know, like over in Livingston with the 111, things like that, it seems like if you pull up to a stoplight over there where you hang a left to come towards Salina, there are a whole lot more cars going straight ahead and going through downtown Livingston than there are going around and missing. And the ones that do go around, they have noticed that there are some fast food places over there. And it looks like the downtown there has flourished more with that.
If you had all that 111 traffic going through downtown Livingston, they couldn't have developed that downtown that way.
We don't refer to this as a bypass, as a truck route. And I mean, you know, us even being here this morning, I don't know how many, you know, larger vehicles have come around through here. And that, you know, our main purpose is safety and for our citizens. And that's the first and foremost thing that, and I think that's what TDOT is looking at with, for sure, you know. And we have a lot of traffic, and according to TDOT, their long-range forecasts and everything that they have looked at over the past, you know, few months, it's going to increase. And so if it continues to increase, it's going to be congested, certainly, and be a hindrance to, you know, a lot of the activities and stuff that we enjoy doing downtown.
Okay, I just got a little bird in my ear that says, guys, we have run out of time. Hey, have you got anything real quick before I let Dr. Young reach in there? He's got his gloves on.
I would like to tell everybody out there, Thomas, about the vaccine, and if they're interested in
it. 1B now?
Contact the health department and get your name on the list, because they're it's looking like, and don't hold me to this, but it's looking like that we're getting in here about 100 I call them shots, and that's what they are, but per week, and that's what it's been to be.
And if you want your name on the list, call over there, right?
Call the health department and get your name on the list.
Got mine yesterday.
Yeah.
So that's very, very important. Looks like we've got a little drum roll here, and it looks like Mr. Hunter Collins has won the birthday cake.
All right,
today.
Congratulations, honey.
Yeah, and just come over by the chamber office and knock on the door, and they may hand you your coupon out the door. I don't know about that, exactly how it works now. But with that, I guess it's time we shut the place down, close the doors, and get ready to finish up the rest of this week. I know we've got a couple of basketball games coming up. Of course, nobody gets in to watch them right now, but luckily so far they've been broadcast on the Internet for so folks can see them. But our basketball team's playing Jackson County at home Friday night and traveling down to Trousdale for a makeup Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So we've got things going on, and hopefully, you know, this is going to change here in a little bit with when we get our people vaccinated.
Absolutely. Lord be our helper. It's going to, yes, absolutely.
But with that, I guess, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you again here on WVFB-FM, 101.5 Kicks Country. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.